get down here with you. Turn to, in your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So before we read this, I'm going to give you a little bit of context. I'm not going to give you the whole context of 1 Corinthians because I gave that to you Sunday. If you weren't here, get the tape, the CD. But basically what's going on, Paul is talking about liberty in Christ. And what's going on is there is meat in the town center being offered to idols. And there are people eating that meat. And there are some who are saying, you should not do that. And there are some that are saying, what do you mean I should not do that? It's not a big deal. And so Paul speaks in to this issue. And ultimately, he gets down to the end sort of his argument. And so look at, let's do 28. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but this, for why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? And so here, he's fixing to sort of close it and sum it all up here. He says, so, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jew or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. So, he says, whatever you do, not just eat or drink, whether you eat or you drink, and whatever you do, and anything that you do it with God's glory as your goal. All right, so we've heard that, you've heard me say that. But the question is, what does that even mean? What does it mean, and why is it really that important? Should I really be thinking about like God's glory when I'm brushing my teeth? Should the goal of cooking a meal be God's glory when I'm mowing the yard or doing the laundry? Should I really intently be moving towards thinking about trying to give God the glory in that? And if so, what does that look like? How do you brush your teeth to the glory of God? All right? Tonight I want to talk about what the glory of God is, why it's so important, and how we are to glorify God in all that we do. So those are the three questions I'm going to ask and answer tonight. Number one, what is the glory of God? If we are going to pursue the glory of God in all that we do, we have to have an understanding of what do we even mean by the glory of God? Is that worship? Is that different than worship? Is it the same thing? What is the glory of God? And so, in order to understand the glory of God, we have to understand the holiness of God. Now, you're the Wednesday night crowd, right? So you know that God is like no other. He is set apart. And that's what we call holy. He is holy, He's set apart. But holiness is more than just different. Sometimes we think God is just different than us. Holy doesn't mean He's just different. What it means is that God, because of His being perfect in His being and His character, He is set apart. Right? It is His character that sets Him apart from all other things. He defines holiness. We don't look at God and say, because you're different, you are holy. We look at God and say, that is holiness. Your character is so far beyond, so above everything else that we ascribe, we say you are holy. That means you are apart from all your created being, right? No one has the character like God. His character is perfect. So God is set apart from all other beings because of His perfection. And God's holiness also tells us and means that He is infinitely worthy. It speaks of His worth. God is intrinsic in His perfection and purity. So what does that mean? What that means is that He doesn't receive His holiness from another source. You and I are called saints. We're holy, right? But why are we holy? We're holy because of Christ's righteousness on us. We're not intrinsic. It's not within us to be holy. No, God's character is holy. It's not that God might could sin. God can't sin because His character is such that He is perfect and holy. And so, it's His intrinsic nature. It is essential to who He is His holiness is. So if God is not holy other, then He's not God. Right? If in your mind you have a God that is not perfect in every single way, then you don't have God. Right? However, He is perfect and is therefore infinitely more worthy than all else. Okay? Because He is perfect, it sets Him apart from all things. And His being set apart, His holiness, His perfection, makes Him infinitely more worthy, has more worth than anything else. So, God's glory is closely related to His holiness. So I'm going to answer the question for you. What is God's glory? God's glory is the manifestation or the radiance of His worth. We can say the demonstration of His worth. It's how you see His worth. His glory is the beauty of His many faceted perfections. Okay, it's how He displays His worth, which is found in His holiness. And so His holiness makes Him of supreme value. His glory demonstrates or shines forth or displays His supreme value. So we see that He is worthy because His glory is what demonstrates His worth, which is demonstrating His holiness, His perfection. So let me just give you an illustration. Think of a diamond. Right? A diamond is a diamond, I don't know that this exists, that has absolutely no flaw whatsoever. Okay? So here's this diamond, they've discovered it, it's cut, whatever, and there's absolutely no flaw. It is perfect, it's like no other diamond. Therefore, it would be set apart. Matter of fact, it would probably be set apart behind lasers and guards, and why? Because of its worth. Everybody would want it. Because it is so perfect, because it is different than any other diamond, there's no diamond that even comes close to it, because it is flawless, it has value, it has worth, right? Its perfection would cause it to be of superior value. However, just knowing about the diamond would not be to understand fully the perfection of that diamond. So I can sit here and describe it and tell it to you and all that, and you could maybe say, okay, well, I realize that I know why that diamond has such value, but I don't really fully understand it. In order to fully understand it, you would have to go and see it. But even then, if it was behind a case or something, it was over there, or if it was just a picture, you still don't get the full understanding. In order to get a full understanding of its value, you would have to take that diamond and you would have to peer into it and you would have to look. And as the light refracted through that diamond, you would see the clarity and the lack of flaw, and then you would be in awe of the beauty of that diamond and you would understand its worth. It is as you turn it and you get the different angles and the light is refracted differently at each angle, you would then see the multifaceted glory of that diamond as each angle gave you a new glimpse of its perfection and a new understanding of its worth and its value. That is then the glory. It is the perfection of the diamond would be the holiness, but the light being refracted, you seeing it, you understanding it, seeing its flawlessness, that's the glory of that perfection. And therefore, you're saying, look at the value of this diamond because it is so perfect. I've never seen anything like that. It is set apart. So in all that God does, He does for His glory. He does what He does out of His character to put on display His perfection of being, the fact that He is holy and set apart. He created in order to display His glory. We see this in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. As the sun rises, as the sun sets, as it goes from day to day, what is the sun doing? It is saying, here is the worth of God. He created me, He put me in orbit, I am going to do what I am supposed to do and give light and give heat because of who God is. He and all that He does is perfect, and He is displaying the glory, displaying the worth of God. That's why God created. God, when He pours out His wrath, does so to display His glory. In Romans 1, 18 through 20, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. God displays His glory, and when they reject that glory, God is going to protect His glory, and He's going to pour out His wrath. So don't think that God's wrath is somehow like the illegitimate child of God's attributes. Somehow we're supposed to be embarrassed by God's wrath. We're supposed to hide it in a closet somewhere. God's wrath displays His worth as we see the fierceness with which He protects His glory. He will not allow His glory, His worth, to be devalued. And so that is why it is just for Him, because He is so worthy, to pour out His wrath. And in the pouring out of His wrath, what He's saying is, I am protecting with a fierce anger my glory. That shows us how important it is. He chooses the nation of Israel. He chooses the church for Himself in order to display His glory. Romans 9, 22. What if God, desiring to show His wrath and to make known His power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction in order to make known the riches of His glory for vessels of mercy, which He has prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom He has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. When we gather together, God created the church. He didn't say, okay, Gentiles, you come over and we're going to make you Jews. We're going to create this new church. Is what Paul calls a mystery. We're going to create this new group. That's the church. Jew, Gentile, African, American, Asian, whatever. Everybody comes in under Christ. And He did that. Why? For His glory, to show His glory. As a matter of fact, Paul says in Ephesians that when we gather together, this mystery is demonstrated in worship. This is a demonstration to the principalities of the air of the wisdom of God. The glory of His wisdom is on display when we worship together. All that God does, everything that He does for His glory to display His worth. And we see the infinite worth of God as we gaze upon His glory, which is seen in His character as it is given to us in the Bible. It is plain, this is who God is, this is what He does. And as we see it in the Bible in what He actually has done, and as you experience in your life in His doing. So God's character is on display when it says God is holy. God's character is on display when it shows us throughout the Old Testament and New Testament all that God has done. And God's character and His holiness and His worth is on display as He works in your life and you experience it. So every time the sun comes up, you are experiencing God saying, my glory, my glory, my glory, my value, my value. And all that He does. So, why is the glory of God so important that we should strive for it at all times? That's number two. Look, when we look at the angels around the throne of God in both the Old and New Testament, what do we see? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. Above Him stood the seraphim, each had six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew, and one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. The job of these angels is to repeat out loud over and over and over that God is holy. Think about that. That's what they do. That's their whole purpose. Just to continually say, in the presence of God, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. God created these angels for this sole purpose, for eternity, that they would do this. That should tell us that He takes His glory seriously. And we should take, therefore, His glory seriously. So why is it important? Well, I think we get a clue of why His glory is so important when we see the sort of the mirrored passage in Revelation of this one in Isaiah. So Revelation 4, and the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Verse 9, now watch. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created. Listen, the angels cry all the time, holy, 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 because they recognize through God's holiness His eternal worth. And so they are in essence saying, listen, God's worth is so great that it is deserving of being recognized over and over and over for time without end. He is so worthy. His holiness is so great that He is worth us for all eternity saying around His throne, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That is how valuable He is. And that is proven in what the 24 elders do. So as they're crying out, holy, holy, the elders recognize the eternal worth of God as the angels declare it, and they respond appropriately. What do? They fall down to worship as a declaration of their unworthiness. I'm in the presence of One who is infinitely more worthy. As these angels are continuing to cry out that He is worthy, He's holy, I'm going to fall down because I'm not worthy. Then what do? They take their crowns and they throw them. They cast them. They don't go up to the throne and put them there. They cast them at the throne and declaring, listen, You are worthy of everything that I have, everything that I am. The most precious thing that I have is the crowns that I've received as I've come to heaven. And guess what? You are worthy of those. And then what do? They worship. What is worship? Worship is ascribing worth. So when they say, worthy are You, what they're saying is, I agree with the angels. You are worthy. And I'm demonstrating it by my posture. I'm demonstrating it by casting my crowns. And I am on my face and I am crying out, You are worthy. He is deserving, His worth is deserving to be declared. The reason we're to give God glory in all that we do is the same reason the angels and the 24 elders do what they do. We are to give God glory in everything because His character demands that His worth be recognized and put on display. Because of who He is, because He is so valuable, His character demands of His creation, because that's our purpose. When you look at it, it demands that you wouldn't take that diamond, look at it, think about it, visualize it, be in awe of it, set it down, and never go tell anybody about it. Oh, yeah, it was a rock. It's a rock. Looks like glass. That's not what happens when you encounter that. You're in awe of something. You declare it. You know there's the valuable things are worthy because of their worth, deserve worship. Telling people, pointing people to it. You need to go see it. When we glorify God, what we are doing is agreeing with those in the heavens that God is holy, that He's set apart, and He is deserving of worship. He deserves His worth to be declared. Glorifying God is rightly saying to all that there is nothing in the universe that is more valuable than the person of God, because He is God and there is no one like Him. Listen, again, glorifying God is when we say, rightly say, to all, saved, lost, when we say to everybody, there is nothing in the universe that is more valuable than the person of God, because He is God and there is no other like Him. That's what you are doing when you glorify God. When you are thinking, I'm going to do whatever it is that I'm doing to the glory of God, you're going to do that so that, whether anybody's around or not, you are declaring, God, You are the most valuable thing in the universe. Not because of what you do, but just because of who You are. And that means when we do not ascribe worth to God in our lives, then we are ascribing worth to something else. And in essence, we're saying there is something of more value than God. That is sin. When in your life you say, there is something that has more value and more worth to me than God, that is sin. I normally say that the essence of sin is rejecting God's way. That needs to be tweaked. In reality, the essence of sin is rejecting God's worth. When you reject God's worth, then you are going to reject His way. If He is not the most valuable thing in the universe, then what He says doesn't have weight. But when He is the most valuable, when He is more worthy than anything else, then what He says is important, and you do it. But when you reject His worth, that's sin. What does the Bible tell us? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we sin, we do not ascribe to God through our actions that He is of supreme value. In essence, what we're doing is downplaying the worth of God. So it would be like, here we have this diamond that is flawless, and we look over and, man, there's one of those little, put your quarter in and turn the thing and it dumps out a little ring, plastic ring. And we put that diamond down and we go over and we're going, oh, look how cool that is. I think I want this instead of that. That's what sin is. We're saying this trinket that came out of the bubblegum machine that probably will break in 2 minutes is far more valuable in my eyes, in the way that I'm living, than this flawless diamond. Leviticus 10. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord has said, among those who are near me I will be sanctified, and before all people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. They brought unholy fire before a holy God, and God did not stand for it. He consumed them with fire. And this should do three things. One, it should heighten our awareness of the seriousness of sin. Even the smallest of lies declares God unworthy. Even the smallest of sin, that attitude, that smart remark, says, God, you're not worthy. You don't have supreme value. Number two, it should heighten our understanding of just how important God's glory is and why we are commanded to seek it in all that we do. It is primary for Him. It should be primary for us. And He has created us to do that. You know why? Because that's where you're going to find the most satisfaction and the most joy in life, is pursuing His glory, because that is what you have been created to do. It is important. But then number three, it should heighten our appreciation of the gospel, which displays the glory of God like nothing else can. And so that leads us to the third question. How is it that we can glorify God in all that we do? Christ, in all that He did, displayed the glory of God. After Jesus turned the water into wine, John says this in John 2:11. This, the first of His signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested His glory. And His disciples believed Him. Jesus heals a paralytic and forgives sins. And in Matthew 9:8, it says this, when the crowd saw it, they were afraid and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Before raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus says this, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Listen, whether they were glorifying Christ or they were glorifying God, it doesn't matter. They were recognizing the value of God in Christ as He overthrew the curse of sin right before their eyes. When He heals, He's saying, I am overthrowing the curse of sin. God's glory, my glory is on display here. The kingdom of God and its glory is on display. Ultimately, Christ demonstrated the glory of God through His death and resurrection. 2 Corinthians 4:6 tells us this, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You want to see the glory of God? Look to the face of Christ. Look to what He did on the cross in the resurrection. He is displaying the glory of God. Christ made the way through His righteousness imputed to us for us to be able to glorify God in all that we do. The only way that we can glorify God is through Christ. He came to glorify God, but He came to enable us to do the same because we were under the curse of sin. We were bound by sin. His work frees us from sin and frees us to obedience, valuing God and valuing what He says. So it's His grace that is the only means by which you are able to live obediently to God's command and therefore glorify God in all that you do. So our salvation is a display of the glorious work of God in us. As we're taken from darkness into light, raised from death into life, transformed into a new creation, your salvation displays the glory of God. But what we need to realize is that our obedience in life is a display of the glorious work of God in us as well. Because we live in accordance with the transformation that He has worked in us. So this transformation that has taken place is to the glory of God. And then as we live that out, we are also putting on display the glory of God. Because what we're saying is, look at the transformation. Look at the worth of God, because He's the one that transformed me. He did this work through Christ in me. So in our obedience, we manifest the perfect character of God. Now, we don't do it perfectly any more than a fallen creation does. But listen, we can imperfectly display the perfect glory of God. We can imperfectly display the perfect glory of God. His love we can display in the way that we love. Or we can display some other kind of love and say, God's love is not worth it. We can display His forgiveness in the way that we forgive, or we can not forgive and say, God is not worthy. We can display His justice in the way that we treat others and fight for those that cannot fight for themselves. Or we can say, no, God's not worth it. He's not that valuable. We can display His grace throughout the way that we live our lives, the way that we interact with others, the way that we interact even with our enemies. Here back in 1 Corinthians, when Paul says, do all things to the glory of God, the context is to keep others in mind. So as you're eating this meat and as you're drinking or as you're refraining, you're doing it for the sake of the gospel. That's what he's saying. I'm going to refrain from eating, not because of your conscience. I mean, not because of my conscience, because of yours. I don't want to prevent you from coming to know Christ. Why? Because God is that valuable. I'm willing to put aside what I want and what I value and my freedoms in order for you to come to know Christ. And so what we see in this is that the most menial of tasks should be about how it represents God's worth. And the most menial of tasks, am I doing it and how can I do it in order to represent God's worth, that He is the most valuable thing in being in the universe. And so your desire is that it's on display in all we do, both individually and corporately as disciples of Christ. So if I'm by myself, I'm still doing it for the glory of God. Why? Because that's my purpose. And if I'm out in the world, I'm doing it for the glory of God. Why? Because my purpose is to put His glory on display, to show His value so that they look at it and they go, wow, that is valuable. And they come to us and we say, and here's how you can know this valuable, infinitely valuable God through Christ Jesus. But also corporately. We come together to worship Christ, to display His value, to display His worth. That's the point of gathering. Is to say that He is more valuable than softball. He's more valuable than TV. He's more valuable than whatever that keeps me from being here. He is of supreme value in my life. And so He gets my first of my resources, that, by the way, He gave me, but we'll just call them mine right now, right? He gets the first. He gets the best because He's most valuable. He gets the best and the first of my time. And my kids, I raised them for His glory because He's so valuable. I want them to know the value, but I want the world to see, even through my kids, as the way that I raise them, the value of God. So when we say, glorify God in all we do, what we're saying is that the purpose for all that we do is to display God's character, His worth. That is the purpose for everything you do. Every thought, every act should say, God is more valuable than anything in the universe. And this is not accomplished by flexing your moral muscle, but it is only accomplished through the moment-by-moment trusting in the grace of God that is fully ours because of Christ's death and resurrection. Because of the grace that is available to you through Christ, you are able to live every moment of your life to the glory of God if you will trust Him. And so I will close with 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. It says this, excuse me, verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. He's given us grace. It's salvation. He's given us grace. Sometimes that's in gifts, as Peter's talking about here. So whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now notice that connection. You're the one speaking, you're the one serving, but it's in order that in everything God would receive the glory through Jesus Christ. How does that work? Well, it's through Christ that you receive the grace, the gifts, the ability to do the speaking as unto God and the serving as unto God, so that through Christ. So you don't flex your moral muscle and say, look what I did for God. You say, I am unworthy, I am unable, but it's only through Christ that I did this. And so who gets the glory? Christ. You point to Him, and what does He do? He points to the Father. Christ gets the glory, Father gets the glory, God gets the glory. Spirit gets the glory. Why? Because it's working in you to do that. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that You are a holy, righteous God. We are grateful and thankful that You are of infinite value. And we are grateful and we are thankful that despite our rebellion against that, we turn away and look to other things as more worthy and pursue other things as more worthy. But despite that, You have made the way for us to worship You and declare Your worth. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You died on the cross so that we could say God is worthy. Thank You that You rose from the grave so that we could, through Your work, see the worth of God on display. Thank You that You have freed us from the power of sin so that we can worship God. Thank You that You have enabled us through Your grace all that has been promised to us, all that is ours in Christ Jesus. You've enabled us to live a life that glorifies You, that every thought can be to the glory of God, that every meal can be to the glory of God, that even as we brush our teeth, we can do so with God's glory and His worth and His value in mind as our goal. And so God, help us to see where we are not giving You glory in all areas of our life. And then give us faith to trust in the grace that has been promised so that change can occur. And I pray where we don't see You as valuable, where we don't love You supremely, that you would turn our hearts, that you would display yourself, you would show us your glory so that we would be drawn into you and our love would grow. And that this world, when they look at us, would know that the God of infinite, supreme value exists, and that we love Him more than anything, and that we would love to share with them how they can know Him too. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.